So magic time, just to be clear, it essentially means your extra time. Like, so nights and weekends.
Yeah, I just used magic time because that's just a term that we use. Nights and weekends. On my own personal time, I want to do this.
Magic
stuff.
Time in my household means something completely different.
Welcome to the Workflow Podcast, a place where we'll navigate the professional landscape together. Exploring how stuff really gets done in the working world. I'm Sam.
And I'm Derek.
And we're ready to uncover the tools you need to make a lasting impact, grow as a professional, grow as a human, and to build a career that you love. So with that, let's settle into the workflow.
All right, so this is a cool conversation, I think, to have on the back of our most recent conversation on finding your why. Because you find your why or your purpose, and like we said, everything else from a career standpoint should cascade from there. And you can make very intentional decisions to kind of design your career and design your life within the context of your why. But the clarity on the why is very useful to have that. And so if you think about the broad funnel, it's like, define your why. That why can abstract into a set of rough goals. Those goals can then inform very intentional career choices and decisions that you make in service of those goals, in service of the why. And yeah, something that's been really cool is, since we started this podcast, a lot of folks have reached out to me for career advice because we talk a lot about career stuff on this show and post about it. By the way, like, keep it coming. It's amazing to have those conversations. Literally no downside in you reaching out, because at minimum, you're just going to get a different perspective. And I love it. We love it, because we can also just learn about your problems and then we can kind of do more deep dives on these things. But anyway, so a lot of folks like reaching out about career advice since we started, which is awesome. And something that I've been thinking about is, like, if you haven't at least contemplated career changes recently in the last couple months, last 6 months, you're already behind. You should be constantly contemplating changes in your career. Is this the right place for me? Am I still on the right track? Am I doing everything that I could in service of my goals and service of my why? And I think a lot of the themes of folks reaching out, asking for advice is like, I'm looking for a change of some kind, or I'm trying to make a change of some kind. I just don't know how to quite go about it. So what I did was I sat down and I mapped out 4 career change strategies. These strategies, I think I've done all of them, or most of them in part. And depending on your situation and your level of risk tolerance and the size and scope of the change that you want to make, these different strategies may be useful for you in order to map them out. And so I want to talk through each of these 4 strategies with you, and we can just kind of jam on them.
Sounds good. And by the way, this is timely, because I think a lot of people are in a weird state at work, and I know like the job market's tough. And one of the people that we've had on in the past, Katie Culver, who's like, she helps a lot of people find their next role. One of the things that she always harps on is intentionally calling out what their next role will be. Because once you have a very specific thing you're looking for, then it's easier to find that thing, instead of just being more general of, oh, I think I want to be a software development manager. It's like, no, like, why do you want to do it? Which we talked about last time. And then you said that you have 4 different kind of frameworks or lenses to look at these. So what's number one?
Number one is my favorite. And I feel like when most people come to me with a career problem or a change that they want to make, they always glaze over this strategy. And I called it No Place Like Home, the No Place Like Home strategy. And the strategy is simple. It's look at ways to make changes within your existing company or with your within your existing situation. So a lot of people, when they reach out, they're like, I really want a new job. I don't like this. I don't like this about my role. I'm trying to do this other thing. And I'm looking for opportunities in that space. And so they're always looking out. They encounter some kind of friction or some kind of dissatisfaction with their current company or their current situation. And the default to change that is like, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave and go find another role somewhere else. And before getting to I want to leave, I always stress, like, have you turned over every fucking stone possible in your current job to get everything you can out of that? And what does that look like? Have you raised the problem with your manager? Have you networked with other functions within the company to see if there are other problems that you can solve, or maybe another lateral move that you can make within that company? Is there something that you could change about your team? Is there a promotion that you could actually be putting yourself up for? Could you be asking for more money? There's all these stones that could that you can turn over in your current role without adding the friction of looking for another job and having to deal with building up social capital and having to deal with just the uncomfortableness of starting in a new place. I think a lot of folks just default to I need to leave when they reach discomfort, but no place like home is the very first place that I would start when contemplating a career change.
That's pretty cool. I like the name too, the no place like home tactic. One potential benefit of this too is that more than finding a role at a different company, you have contacts and context to pull from to better position with a higher probability of success in that role. So like, for example, if the hiring manager on that lateral move, you can talk to other people ahead of time to know, is this person an asshole or is it a good manager, right?
Great
or
point.
Is there a lot of politics on that side? So like, this is definitely like number one, if you can, unless you like really don't like your company. But if you like the company, but it's not your role, this is definitely number one that you should hit.
Yeah, dude, you're killing variables is what you're saying. Because when you move to another company, the variables that you don't know and are really hard to assess are these kinds of things. What are these people actually like to work with day in, day out? And what is really the culture that exists there? You know, there's only so much you can do to assess that in like a round of interviews, for example. But at your current company, you already know. You also have the benefit of at your current company, you probably have some decent handle on the opportunity that company has in front of them, if they're on a growth trajectory, if they're not, if that business is going to continue as a going concern, if it's going to succeed in the long term. You probably have a decent point of view on that. And then finally, you also have some level of domain expertise. If you've been working there, you know how shit works at that company. And you know how shit works in that industry. And that is a superpower in and of itself, is having some level of domain expertise. Because what that means is that people will be more apt to take a bet on you. Which brings me to, who is this best for? And what is this best for? Like, what kind of career changes? Either switching functions or incremental improvements, like going from an IC to a management role. So the example I have is, I'm an engineer and I want to work on product. I want to stop coding and I want to, you know, up level my thinking and be more strategic and think about what we should build instead of actually building it. Someone needs to take a bet on you because you've never done product before. And so the best place to do that kind of jump, like from function, the easiest, least friction way to do that is to do it at the same company because you have these other things going for you.
Yep. And it's easier, right? It's less of a bet because people know you greater than if you were going into the marketplace without that on your resume. You'll probably be passed over compared to every other candidate, even if you would be a better long-term fit. If you don't have that experience to put on the resume, you might be skipped over to begin with. So,
and yeah, so I think that often when people are deliberating career changes, like they really discount how challenging it is to go from one company to another company and deal with all this kind of stuff over again. You need to build new relationships. You need to build up social capital. You need to build trust. And then, you know, you can start working through all of these other types of changes. There's just way less friction in doing that at your current job. So make sure that you're like milking that for all it's worth. So that's one. Second is a close cousin to No Place Like Home. And it's actually a strategy that builds on No Place Like Home. And it's called land and expand. Get the job that you can get, then work to the one that you want. So as an example, somebody reached out to me and was in professional services. They were in like a consulting role. And they really wanted to work, quote unquote, in industry. They wanted to work at, in a product role at a tech company. They were doing tech company consulting. And it's really, really hard for somebody in professional services to get a product role at a tech company. It's a huge jump because you're jumping industries and you're also jumping companies. So for a hiring manager at that company that you want to get into, that's too big of a bet. I'm not going to bet on the smart consultant to go do product because they've never done it before and they don't understand my company. They haven't been here. But if you deploy a land and expand strategy, that same person could get a job in strategy and operations or in pricing or in something that is much more directly connected to consulting at that role. And then over time, work to a product role. Because what you're doing is you're getting the job that you can get. Maybe it's not the one that you want, but it's the one that you can get. At least you're breaking in. You're breaking into that industry or you're breaking into that company that you want to work for. And then it's just on you to be great at your job foundationally and grow from there. I love the land and expand strategy. I think it's a great one and one that people should do more.
Well, you've done it, right? As a CPA, this is the one that you've had the most success with, right? Because you were a CPA, you moved to a company in the tech space, but as a CPA, and then you kind of leaned in towards the biz dev and strategy side, right? I mean, you're proof that that's a good strategy to have. I'm curious how open were you with the manager that about the position that you eventually wanted and didn't necessarily have today? Like, were you transparent? Did you closet it? Like, what advice would you give to somebody that wanted to utilize this framework?
Yeah, it's really a delicate situation because if I'm a hiring manager and this person's coming in saying, yeah, I'm applying for this accounting role, but really what I want to do is business development. I'm like, all right, well, no.
Yeah, that's a no.
And so no, I wouldn't be super explicit about that up front. If you get the...
I would closet it too. I wouldn't tell.
I think you would keep your cards close to your chest. And if asked the long-term question, like, what do you want to do in 5 years? I wouldn't lie. I wouldn't lie and say, I want to be an accountant in 5 years. But I would just try to massage that conversation a little bit in the direction that you want to go.
So let me play hiring manager. Let me...
Yeah, go.
Yeah. Sam.
Yo,
thanks for applying to our open. Yo, you're not gonna get this job.
I'm a cool accountant.
All right. Next.
Yeah.
Just curious. Before we get started, what are you interested in doing in the next 5 years?
So right now, I'm completely committed to moving into industry, working in private accounting, and bolstering that skill set. My near term focus is 100% there. I'm also looking for a company that I can grow with. I want to grow within accounting for sure, but I'm hoping that joining a fast-growing tech company that's scaling, there's going to be opportunities for me to build on my accounting skill set in other ways.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I'll just leave it at that.
Perfect.
Yeah. And then when you start, Ethan Evans has a great framework on this. He calls it the magic loop. The magic loop basically is a really simplified way to think about how to expand your scope or grow your career. And it's some simple steps. One, do your job well. the foundational job that you're doing. So in this scenario, I would come in, my number one focus would be to be a great accountant. Every month, those books are getting closed. There's tons of trust that I'm not going to pay the wrong people, the wrong things. And, you know, so I didn't execute well on this early in my career, but I build a lot of trust as an accountant. And so everyone knows, especially my manager knows that I'm doing my day job well. And then after I establish that, I start looking for problems in spaces that I want to grow. So if it was, I'm just specifically for my situation, it was business development. So I would start chatting with the BD guys and listening to what they were working on and thinking about their problems. And then once I found something that maybe I could try to get involved in, I would ask my manager. I would be like, hey, do you mind that if in my magic time, in my nights and weekends, that I worked on this other thing? I'm interested in this area of the business. I want to kind of grow my skill set there. And two things will happen in that conversation. The most likely situation is the manager is going to be like, absolutely, let me help you do this. Mm-hmm. The other thing that could happen is they say no. And that's data as well, because that means you have a shitty manager and you should change. But either way, you're getting data.
So magic time, just to be clear, it essentially means your extra time, like so nights and weekends.
Yeah, I just used magic time because that's just a term that we use. Nights and weekends. On my own personal time, I want to do this.
Magic
stuff.
Time in my household means something completely different.
I would not suggest doing project time during that kind of magic time at all. It depends what how you define a project, I guess. But still, but yeah, dude. Basically, it just means in your personal time.
I like it. That's cool.
But yeah, so figure out how to solve problems. Work on those problems in your personal time. Build trust with those folks, and then you build on that. And then eventually, doors will open, and you'll figure out the right time to ask if you can walk through that door with your manager, and be proactive and figure out a way to do it. So land and expand basically builds on no place like home. First, break into the industry or the company. And then from there, deploy a no place like home strategy and start doing great at your job and turning over stones from there.
Lean in. How soon do you think, when does it make sense for somebody to start, like to move from land and expand into no place like home? How much time should somebody give?
I think it depends. Depends on the role, depends on the company, depends on the stage that they're at. But I would say generally, like anything within the first 3 months, I would just focus exclusively on your role. Get great at it. You have no idea what you're doing at that point. You're green. But
like, hey, second week, what do you think about product? Yeah, and the CPA stuff getting a little boring.
Yeah, that would be
number.
Yeah, that would be a little dicey to me for sure.
So like maybe like a good indicator is like if only once you're adding value, should that even be in your mind? Like if you're learning at this new company, if you're still like extracting value and you're learning your new position, keep it aside. Once you feel like you have a really solid foundation with like relationships and your function, and you'd probably be starting with, as you go along, you'd probably be in the back of your mind. So maybe the place you would start is build relationships at least with some of those key people in those areas.
Totally. Yeah. First of all, I like what you said that, you know, priority numero uno is do your job well first. So as soon as you're doing your job well and your manager and everyone else knows you're doing your job well and you can objectively prove that, you're good. But to augment that, on day one, you can build relationships anywhere in the company. And so relationships beget relationships and relationships beget opportunity. So work on building relationships as soon as possible. That's only going to benefit you. It'll benefit you in your current role. It'll benefit you and open up doors for future roles. but start with building relationships for sure.
I think that's probably a common denominator across all the frameworks, to be honest.
Totally agree.
Relationships.
Totally agree.
So those two, what's number three? What's the third?
Number three is YOLO. This is the more nuclear option. I love talking about this one because it's fun. It's also scary. But basically, it's drop everything, cut your expenses, pour your heart and soul into the new thing, whatever that new thing is. So obviously, it's higher on the risk spectrum, potentially higher on the reward spectrum, and potentially faster. Something about land and expand and no place like home is that they take time. It takes time to do your foundational job well. It takes time to build trust. It takes time to build relationships. You could trade that for higher risk with YOLO, and potentially it all falls apart, but potentially you're expediting things. And so what is this best for? Who is it best for? This is best for massive changes, like massive changes in function or industry, etc. I have a buddy who was a physical therapist and he made a mistake. 3 years into his career, he was like, oh no, I actually hate everything about this. And I have a lot of school debt from it. And so I feel kind of trapped, but I can't progress on in healthcare. This was the wrong thing for me. And he turned over stones and he looked at, you know, different options. A lot of them required like more school, which was not tenable for him. And so like, this is not for me. And at the same time, he learned about software engineering and the different types and the potential flexibilities around it, the upward earning potential, etc. And so he set a goal and he YOLO'd it. He quit his job. He moved home. He sat in his basement basically for 3 months and took this general assembly class, learned basic coding, and then just started building projects to show that he knew what he was doing and that he was worth the salt. And there was an incredible amount of friction in it. But basically, I think end to end, it was about a 8 or 9 month process. At the end of that 9 month process, he was a software engineer.
How did he fund himself in those 9 months? Like, how did he set himself up for success so he didn't have to worry about the necessities?
Leading up to the 9 months, he saved a lot.
Yeah, well, he saved up. So like he just ate into his savings during the transition.
Yeah, absolutely. In a YOLO strategy, you need to pull on all of these kinds of resources that you have. So saving leading up to that YOLO cliff moment is definitely one thing. He moved home. So he eliminated expenses from his life. He eliminated rent and to some degree food. And his lifestyle for the ensuing 3 months, it wasn't exciting. He wasn't going on vacations. He wasn't going out partying. He wasn't doing a lot. He was nose to the grindstone, bro. Like, it was crazy to watch because you felt for him, you know? But he was singularly focused on this goal and making it happen. And if you really think about it, like 9 months to go from working in healthcare to being an employed software engineer is amazing. It's amazing that one can do that.
Yeah.
And tying it back to whole, like, your why and your purpose, the amount of autonomy and control you have over like constructing your life, or in this strategy and in this specific story, taking a complete left turn, you have a tremendous amount of autonomy and control over it. 9 months in the grand scheme of things is not that long.
Yeah. It sounds like, I mean, in this strategy, there is no plan B. There's only a plan A. So it seems like a prerequisite to employing this is you need to have a very clear next step. You need to be bought in 100%. You can't go in half baked like the other options. And especially the next one kind of allows you to play with. But let's jump into that. So that makes sense. So far we've talked about no place like home, essentially stay where you are, look for alternatives. Land and expand, which is like a new company with the current skill set that you have and then look to lean into a completely different thing. So it's building on No Place Like Home. Mm-hmm. YOLO is just saying, all right, screw it. I'm going to become an engineer, even though I've been just, you know, helping people's rotator cuff injuries for the past few years. What's number four?
Number four is, I think, a really commonly understood one, but probably not as well leveraged as most people could. And that's side hustle. Everyone knows what a side hustle is. You have your day job. Mm-hmm. And then in your magic time, nights and weekends, not Derek's magic time, you work on this other thing. This is what you and I are doing right now. I have a career working in business strategy and operations in crypto. And you have a career in IT. And we have families, we have commitments, we have some sense of stability on that that is super attractive and something that we've worked really hard for. We don't necessarily just want to give up. But on the flip of that, we both have this itch and we want to start experimenting with serving our respective whys in a bigger way. Trying to scale, you know, helping people navigate through things, trying to impart some of the knowledge that we've been able to build in our careers onto other people. And so we started the podcast and I work on it early in the morning and piss you off by sending you way too many WhatsApp messages before 6 a.m.
5:30 in the morning. Like, dude.
Which I didn't apologize for in person. So I do apologize, but... and late at night and on the weekend sometimes. And the best part about that is we're mitigating our risk. We're actually almost even eliminating our risk. What we're doing is we're giving ourselves the space to prove out an idea and try to slowly build something and give ourselves enough conviction that this is a thing that people see value in. And that's where the magic is in this side hustle thing. It's a risk mitigation strategy.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is that in my personality is I love risk. Like I like gambling. When I was younger, I dropped everything and I moved to Florida. Just didn't know a thing, but I was like, it was never a question in my mind. Mm. But YOLO to me seems like too much for me. Right. Like just the idea of dropping everything and going in, it to me is like anxiety train, right? So like it's a very specific person, like your friend, that would do that. I think the more common one is the side hustle, like framework. Like YOLO is for people, but like for me, I think the fact that I would be eating into my savings would get in the way of my goal personally. Because the stakes would be too high. If I look at my life and my progression, I've always done the best when the stakes are lowest.
Interesting.
So within a side hustle, with what we're doing here, there's no risk at all. It's just a couple guys getting on a pod, talking at lunchtime and in our extra time. And, you know, we would do it for free. You know, the stakes are super low. We don't have to monetize it. For me, if we had to monetize this thing and it was the plan A, I think it would impact the way in which I came on this podcast. It would affect the way I showed up. So just like an interesting, I think a side hustle is a good way of like mitigating that risk.
Yeah.
Keeping your side job, making sure that your family's intact and your financials are there. But then just like for me too, like it's a creative outlet. So I like my job, but this is like a completely different muscle.
That's cool, right? Dude.
So maybe people just use that as like a habit former. Like side hustle doesn't need to be money. It could be just skill.
Right.
And then who knows where that's going to like add up to be.
Yeah. Yeah. You're relinquishing yourself of these other expectations and pressures of monetizing it or replacing some portion of your income. And for this specific endeavor, that allows space for creativity or reducing expectations allows you to relax and just kind of be yourself in this moment. I mean, also, mm-hmm. we recorded a podcast 2 podcasts ago and didn't launch it because I didn't like it. And if mm-hmm. this was our only thing and we were trying to, this, it was life or death, right? We needed to make this happen. That would have been really anxiety inducing, right? That would have been really, really stressful mm-hmm. to like spend time and not launch it. And so there is an element of that for sure. Is it's a great way to test the water. Now, the converse of that, though, is when your back's up against the wall, you'll always find a way to get things done. This is like the classic like entrepreneurship yeah. mindset.
Right.
But, you know, I think context is super important in all of these strategies. You need to look at the spectrum of your, or the context of your life and what you have going on, and then look at these strategies and make the trade-off for yourself. Because I bet you if, you know, Derek, if you didn't have a really good job that supported your family and your lifestyle, if you didn't have that, or it was that that job was so painful that it was causing you so much stress and so much anxiety, and it was actually like hurting your family indirectly, YOLO may look pretty attractive to you.
True. Yeah.
So yep. everything is contextual.
And the side hustle could become, like you said, I think you could build it up to a YOLO. So it's not a complete YOLO. It's like a hybrid YOLO.
This may be a precursor podcast to a future podcast where we talk about our YOLOing into the workflow 100%.
We have quit our cushy jobs and we are now 100% podcasters. Yeah. So now we're going to lose all of our real world grounding and we're just going to talk theory. Yeah.
And we're just going to like build in public on LinkedIn and talk about all of the things that are.
Do you
just...
feel burnt out? I feel burnt out.
Yeah. And that's okay. Oh, man. But yeah, 4 strategies. I mean, there's, I'm sure there are others. I'm sure you can mix and match these or cut them in different ways. But I've found this cool, and we can kind of establish a common vernacular, common language around these sorts of things, which I think will be quite interesting and fun also to kind of evolve it as we talk to more folks about their careers.
Yeah, you know, when you shared these with me, I really try to think about other possible ways of going about it. And these kind of, all these 4 hit all the scenarios I can come up with. I'm really like, if there's something that we didn't hit that you've seen or you've practiced, like let us know. Cause I'm really actually like super curious. Is there an avenue that these 4 different frameworks don't cover? Cause we could just add a 5th one if there is one. So let us know.
Yeah, totally. And just think about when you're deliberating your next career move, which of these strategies is best for you and why? What's your current risk tolerance? What kind of move are you trying to make? Is it a massive move? Is it just a small incremental move? And hopefully one of these 4 strategies will shed some light on the best way to do that. With that, I think we are
awesome,
finito.
Man. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Sam. Talk to you
good
later.
Good stuff, dude. Later. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us at The Workflow. If you like what you just heard, could you take 1 second and give us a like, subscribe, follow, or leave a review on the platform you're listening to this podcast? It will really help us out as we're growing the pod. We'd also love to hear from you. If you have ideas for future topics you'd like us to cover, folks you'd want us to chat with, or any feedback in general, just shoot us a note at workflowshow@gmail.com. Again, that's workflowshow@gmail.com. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.